Christ's sufferings. We're looking at Christ as the Paschal Lamb. 1 Corinthians, we saw that Christ is our Passover. All right, we ran out of time before we completed this portion of where we're at in Christ's sufferings. This series is actually Christ's sufferings, Bible study lesson number 16. Christ's sufferings, Bible study lesson number 16. Today is July the 28th, 2008. July 28th, 2008. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer. Give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit, have absolute objectivity, teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but will accomplish all you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, we saw the sacrifice was to be a lamb in Exodus 12:5 for the night of the Passover. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. The emblem of meekness and of purity, such was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7. The lamb was to be young, a male of the first year. It was to be without blemish. If a spot had been found upon it, it would have been unfit for service. Jesus was without blemish. He was absolutely sinless, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He was perfect as a babe at Bethlehem, as a babe in Egypt, as a babe back in Nazareth, as a boy growing up in Nazareth, as a son of man. Christ was perfect from his conception to his death and came out of the grave perfect. Christ is our righteousness. This is why it's important for us to understand, appreciate the perfection, the sinless perfection of Christ. Now the lamb we saw was to be put aside. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. In Exodus 12:5, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Alright, verse 3 says, speak ye to the congregation of Israel, saying, the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. Alright, the lamb was to be kept from the 10th to the 14th day of the month. This was to show it had no imperfections, and if a spot had been found upon it, it had to be unfit for sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless perfect. The Father spoke at the beginning of his ministry and said to him there in the river, following the unique baptism of Jesus by John, following the Spirit's baptism of him, when the Spirit descended upon him as a dove, this is my beloved Son, the Father spoke, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17. At the end of Christ's ministry, when he stood before Pilate in John 18:38, Pilate says, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate found him not guilty. And in violation of Roman law, in violation of the fact that you could not be tried for the same crime twice, having been found innocent, Pilate convicted him. He could die on the cross, Calvary. Taken there by evil and wicked hands, the Father had foreordained, was taken there by wicked, evil hands. The lamb was to be innocent, Judas Christ. Because Carrot said in Matthew 27:4, I betrayed the innocent blood. Christ was the innocent one. The lamb was to be killed, though. Exodus 12:6b, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. All these lambs will be slaughtered in the evening. But not enough to take a lamb into the house to fondle it, to make a pet out of it, to play with it. Let God see how much you love little lambs. It was not enough to tie the lamb to the door where it might be seen by the death angel. It had to be killed. Repeat to you the principle, we're not saved by the life of Christ, but by his death. If Christ had not died upon the cross, there would have been no rent veil of the temple. There would have been no shed blood, no open tomb, no interceding high priest. It is by strife we receive our spiritual healing. 1 Peter 2:24 again says his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. God imputed our sins to the human body of Christ. Christ then offered up his soul in atonement for sin to the Father and received the full penalty of sin. We'll study that along the way. Christ did not bear our sins anywhere else. He did not bear them in the manger. He did not bear them at the Jordan River in the wilderness or in the Garden of Gethsemane. He bore our sins on the cross. The lamb was not simply to be killed. Something had to be done with the blood and with the flesh. They would take the blood and sprinkle it on the two side posts of the upper doors, posts, lintel, or the dwellings, and they were to eat the flesh, Exodus 12:7. And you shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts on the upper door posts, and wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. In other words, don't boil it, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it till the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood had to be sprinkled, the flesh had to be eaten. The firstborn was not safe when the blood was simply shed, or even when it was caught in the basin. It was not enough to analyze the blood. The blood had to be used, and they were not left to doubt as to how it was to be used. It was to be sprinkled in the door of the dwelling with a bunch of hyssop. Hyssop was a common plant and grew everywhere in Egypt. It was not a rare plant that they had to send to some foreign country to get. Hyssop stands for faith. Faith is the commonest thing in the world. Without it, there could be no commercial, social, or domestic relations. And all the blood was to be put on the threshold or sprinkled on the door of the dwelling. It was too costly and too sacred to be trodden underfoot. And unbelievers and religious leaders who make light of the blood and Christ are treading on the foot the Son of God and counting the blood as covenant as worthless. Hebrews 10:29 warns of this. It was redemption for the children of Israel. The Passover was not a priestly sacrifice. It was the head of the house who killed the lamb and sprinkled it, the blood upon the door. We did not yet have the Levitical priesthood. We had the patriarchal priesthood. The blood was a token. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, Exodus 12:13. Not a question of personal worthiness or of good works or of morality, but of the blood. It is the blood that maketh atonement for sin, Leviticus 17:11. We've taught the whole doctrine of the blood, and we're going to teach it again for too long. Not just part of it, as one person teaches or another, but trying to teach as much of the whole thing as we can on teaching the whole counsel of God. I want you to learn to appreciate the value of the blood of Christ and appreciate the term for it. It bothers me to hear Christians not consider the full meaning of the biblical, scriptural term, the blood of Christ. And we need to understand it. Don't misunderstand it. Leviticus 17:13 says, and whosoever man there be in the children of Israel of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast of the field, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it in the dust. Blood symbolizes life. Verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make the atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The value of life is the measure of the value of the blood. This gives the blood of Christ its inconceivable value. When it was shed, the sinless God, man, gave his life. Hebrews 10:4 says, not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away sin. It is not the blood, the veins of the sacrifice, but the blood upon the altar is efficacious. The Scripture knows nothing of salvation by the imitation or influence of the Christian life, but only the life yielded up at the cross. The meaning of the sacrifice here explained, each offering was an execution of the sentence of the law upon a substitute of the offender, and every such offering pointed forward to the substitutional death of Christ, which alone vindicated the righteousness of God in passing over the sins of those who offered the typical sacrifice. Hold the place and go to Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is to deliver up, paying a price. The New Testament doctrine, the New Testament accords the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and prophecies of redemption to the sacrifice of Christ. Complete truth is set forth in the three words translated redemption. Agorazo, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, means to purchase in the market. The underlying thoughts of a slave market, the subjects of redemption, are sold under sin. Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But are moreover under sentence of death, Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth shall die. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In verse 19, which we don't often quote, but should quote more often. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Romans 3:19. Now we say that what things soever the law saith, that it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are the works of the law under the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The purchase price is the blood of the Redeemer, who dies their stead, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he was made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that the righteousness of God might be made manifest. That we might be made the righteousness of God, in him. Now, Matthew 20:28. Mark 10:45, 1 Timothy 2:6, 1 Peter 1:18, I'll let you look up. The second word is exagorazo, E-X-A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, meaning to buy out of the market. The redeemed are never able again to be exposed to sale. They are never again to be exposed to sale. We don't understand what God has done for us. We sell ourselves back into sin. Exagorazo is used in Galatians 3:13 and 4:5 for deliverance by Christ, Christian Jews, from the law and its curse. Ephesians 5:16 is used in the middle voice for to buy up oneself. And Colossians 4:5 for the buying up of the opportunity, redeeming the time. Lutro is the third word, L-U-T-R-O, meaning to loose or set free by paying a price. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Put that with Galatians 4:4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem, lutro, to loose. Check out Galatians 4:31, 5:13, Romans 8:21. Redemption is a sacrifice by power, Exodus 14:30. Redemption is by sacrifice and power, Exodus 14:30. Takes them both, sacrifice and power. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Exodus is a book of redemption, teaches the redemption is holy of God, Exodus 3:7-8, and John 3:16. Redemption is through a person, Exodus 2:2, John 3:16-17. Redemption is by the blood, Exodus 12:13-23-27, 1 Peter 1:18. Redemption is by power, Exodus 6:6-13-14. Romans 8:2, Isaiah 59:20. Romans 3:24, the blood of Christ redeems the believer from the guilt and penalty of sin. 1 Peter 1:18 is the power of the Spirit delivers from the dominion of sin. Romans 8:2 and Ephesians 2:2. Christ paid the price, the Holy Spirit makes the deliverance actual and experienced, Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb was the issue. We must learn what to do in dealing with the Passover Lamb. When the blood was sprinkled upon the door, it became valuable. The blood was the token. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's not a question of personal worthiness, nor as of good works, nor morality, but of the blood. Is the blood which maketh the atonement for the soul, Leviticus 17:11. All those who would have a bloodless sacrifice, those who would ignore, I'm not interested in that, I'm not concerned. The blood of Jesus Christ is called precious blood in Scripture. Leviticus 17:11 we read, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, I will give it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The value of the life is the measure of the value of the blood. This gives the blood of Christ inconceivable value. When it is shed, the sinless God gave his life. Not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Hebrews 10:4. Is not the blood in the veins of the sacrifice, but the blood upon the altar, which is efficacious. The Scripture knows nothing of salvation by imitation or influence, Christ's life, but only of that of yielded up to the cross. The meaning of the all sacrifice is here explained in this verse, verse 11. Again, I read it. For the life of the flesh and the blood, I view it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Every offering was an execution of the sentence of the law upon a substitute for the offender, and every such offering pointed toward that substitutional death of Christ, which alone vindicated the righteousness of God in passing over the sins of those who offered the typical sacrifices, Romans 3:24, Exodus 29:36. Having applied the blood, what did they do? They were to go into the house and wait. The Israelites were not merely in a salvable state, they were saved. Unsavable state, they were saved. Not partly, but completely. If a hair of one of the firstborn sheltered behind the blood had been tested, would have proven Jehovah's word void and the blood of the Lamb worthless. Valueless, therefore. It is not necessary for us to see the blood. We may have no assurance as to our salvation, but we've applied the blood of Christ to our soul by believing in Christ, trusting in it and it alone for our salvation. It is so all that is necessary for God to see. Someone doesn't have to need to know all the doctrine of the blood to be saved. All he had to know is that Christ paid for their sins on the cross. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But why is Christ a Savior? That's to be explained, that he made atonement for sin, that he was sinless perfect. They have to understand something. We believe in Christ to be saved as a Savior, but they have to identify, they have to be convicted by the Spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They have to know they need a Savior. The Spirit does this work. We can't talk people into it. They need to understand. We're saved by the blood of the crucified one and all that it represents. It is not necessary for us to see the blood. We may not have all these assurances and things, but we have to understand the basic doctrine that the blood of Christ represents. Christ paid for our sins. To our soul, we are trusting in it. Having applied the blood, what do we next? We go into the house and stay there. Exodus 12:22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two sides of the post with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. No firstborn child of Israel was safe outside the house that night until after the angel of death had passed. Even though the blood was on the door, doubtless many made light of the Passover method of salvation, but no one laughed in the morning. Men may mock at the gospel plan of salvation, ignore the blood, but they will not laugh at the white throne judgment. They went inside to have the feast. All right, let's categorize a little simply out very simply here for a minute before we come back to the feast concept. the Passover type of Christ our Redeemer. The Passover type is the type of Christ our Redeemer, Exodus 12, 1 to 28. You can read the long passage for yourself, John 1, 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. To deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not in good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge ye out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. Well, let me read for you Exodus 12, the first, make sure you get it, the first 13 verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month I shall take of them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb, and your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and the upward post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor side at all, but water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn. And this shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste, as the Lord's Passover. For I will pass the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and again all the goods of Egypt. I will execute judgment, I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token of the house where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The verses 14 to 28 describe the memorial of redemption by the blood. We'll save to read that a little later on. The lamb must be without blemish and attested. It's really kept for the 4 days, Exodus 12, 5, and 6, we've seen. Our Lord's public life under hostile scrutiny was the testing which proved his holiness, Luke 11, 53 and 54. I know I'm reviewing, but I'm reviewing so you get this important doctrine down. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. John 8, 46. Which of you confesses me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? John 18:38. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Secondly, the lamb thus tested must be slain, Exodus 12:6. We'll read it one more time to you, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. All right, I looked the wrong way through my bifocals. I didn't want to give you 1 John 1:7. What did I meant to give you John 12:24. My apology. I do that sometime. I'm getting old. I'm not as young as I once was. You want a perfect pastor, they're all in heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John chapters 12 to 17 are a progression according to the order of approach to God in the tabernacle type. Chapter 12, in which Christ speaks of his death, answers to the brazen altar, a burnt offering. The type of Christ passing from the altar toward the Holy of Holies, the laborers next reach, Exodus 30:17-21. Answers to John 13, with his associates, priests now purified, the high priest approaches, enters the holy place in high communion, chapters 14 to 16. Entering alone in the Holy of Holies, John 17:1, the high priest intercedes, Hebrews 7:24-28. An interception is not for salvation, but for the keeping and blessing of those for whom he prays. His death assumed is accomplished and has saved them. Remember, he was slain by the decreed will of the Father from the foundation of the world. That is, in the dispensation of the triune Godhead. All right, next, the blood must be applied. Exodus 20, verse 7. And it shall take take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. This answers to the appropriation of personal faith and refutes universalism, John 3:36. There is no universal salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All right, the blood must be applied of itself without anything in addition, constituting a perfect protection from judgment, verse 13 of Exodus 12. And the blood shall be for you a token of upon your house where you are. And when you see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. 1 John 1:7 that I meant to read you earlier. I read you earlier, I'm sorry, but I meant to read you now. But we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 10:10. By thee which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14. For by one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ is the Paschal Lamb. Christ our Passover. Christ died for our sins. He paid for it. His blood is the symbolic of it. Never, ever fail to give full value to the blood of Christ in every aspect of it. The feast typified Christ, the bread of life, answering to the memorial supper, Matthew 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave it to them and said to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink hereof of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink of it anew in my Father's kingdom. The Greek word word translated remission in Matthew 26:28, Acts 10:43, Hebrews 9:22 is elsewhere rendered as forgiveness. We must learn to understand and rightly divide the word of truth and get the full value out of what is going on. The full value out of the word of what is going on here. We have a phesis, A-P-H-E-S-I-S, from a femi, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. That's the verb form. We have the noun form here. It's used for the forgiveness of sins. It means to send off or to send away, and this is throughout Scripture is one of the fundamental meanings of forgiveness, to separate the sin from the sinner. Distinction must be made between the divine and human forgiveness. Human forgiveness means the remission of penalty. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the fulfillment, the divine forgiveness followed the execution of the penalty. The priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him, Leviticus 4:35 teaches. Verse 28 of Hebrews says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The sending away, the forgiveness of the sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. Now, the sin of the justified believer interrupts his fellowship and is forgiven upon confession, but always on the ground of Christ's perpetuating sacrifice. 1 John 1, 6-9, we've read that many times, 1 John 2:2. Human forgiveness rests upon the results from divine forgiveness. In many passages, this is assumed rather than stated, but the principle is declared, Ephesians 4:32, Matthew 18:32-33. We need to learn how to truly forgive our fellow believers, my friends. Now look at Hebrews 10:18. The first intimation of the sacrifice is Genesis 3:21, the coat of skins having obviously come from slain animals. When we come to verse 18, we read, "Now there, where there is remission of these, there is no more offering for sin." Christ slaughtered the animals and made the coat of skins in the garden. Abel's righteousness was the result of his sacrifice of his character for sin. Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by his being dead yet speaketh. Christ, he brought the blood sacrifice, and bringing the blood sacrifice, it was accepted. The first clear instance of the sacrifice in is Genesis 4:4. The intimation of it is Genesis 3:21. Abel's righteousness was the result of his sacrifice, not of his character, as I repeat. Before the giving of the law, the head of the family was the family priest, but by the law, the order of priests was established. You alone could offer sacrifice. These sacrifices were shadow types, expressing variously the guilt and the need of the offer in reference to God, and all pointing to Christ and fulfilling in Him. Now, the feast typified Christ as the bread answered to the memorial supper, as we said. To observe the feast, it was a duty and privilege, but not a condition of safety. As a matter of fact, the bread was not eaten by the Israelites on the night in which, nevertheless, they were preserved from the judgment of the firstborn, Exodus 12:34-39. And the people took their dough better before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs being bound up and their clothes upon their shoulders. The children of Israel did according to the words of Moses, and they borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Lord, ye, the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot. There were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them in flocks and herds, even with the cattle, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. The communion table that Paul received. "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. You do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, This cup of the New Testament is my blood. This do you as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye to show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." All right, so the Passover lamb was clearly Christ. Christ was the Passover. All right, the Old Testament memorial was the Passover feast. Exodus 12, beginning in verse 14, said, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. ye shall keep it as a feast by the ordinance forever. Now, we don't do this. The Jews do this. The feast, ye shall eat of the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs ye shall eat it, Exodus 12, 8-10 says. They were saved by the blood, but it was not enough to kill the lamb and use the blood. They were to feed on the lamb. Some Christians stop short of being saved by the blood and fail to feed on the lamb. They're saved, and that's enough. They don't study the Word. That is why they are not nourished and sustained their Christian life. There can be no true fellowship only as we eat the lamb. The lamb was not to be eaten raw or sodden with water, boiled, but roast with fire. To roast it, they had to use a spit. That is, they had to support it over the fire by a rod running lengthwise through it, another rod at right angles through the shoulder to turn it, by thus symbolizing the cross. It's interesting that God is permissive will, knowing that he was going to allow Christ to go to the cross, even though the altar was the place of normal sacrifice. Required the using of the spit as they used in the ancient world to roast their lambs in Israel and Egypt, formed a type of cross. It was on the cross that Jesus' body was subject to the fire of God's righteous wrath against sin, and we are now to feed on the by faith on his body by the observance of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 12:26-30. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. We've read both passages are in this class. We're to study the Word. The trouble today is that the world is not feeding on the crucified but risen Savior. They are trying to follow Christ as a pre-cross Christ and a living lamb. They're trying to follow Christ as an example and not as a Savior. They're living on the wrong side of the cross and not on this side. What we are to do is not to go back to the living Christ, but to look forward to the resurrected Christ, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and glorified. The Passover lamb was to be eaten in unleavened bread. Leaven is a symbol of evil and therefore could not be used at such a feast as that of the Passover. The Apostle Paul calls us to purge out the old leaven of malice and wickedness, 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. They were also to eat the feast with bitter herbs, symbolic of their previous bondage, and they were to let nothing remain until the morning. They were to forsake sleep to feed on the lamb. If any were left over, they were to burn it, lest it fall into unfit hands or be left behind in hasty departure. Think of the picture and typology that we have before us. Well, a terrible hurricane of divine judgment was sweeping at midnight across Egypt when the angel of death crossed Egypt and slew the firstborn in every home for which there was no blood sprinkled upon the doorpost, destroying the firstborn in every home unsheltered by the blood. The children of Israel were feasting peaceably and joyfully on roasted lamb. They would eat the feast with their loins girded and their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand, Exodus 12:11. They would eat it as a people prepared to leave Egypt, where death, darkness, and judgment reign. Their girded loins and sandaled feet declared them a pilgrim people, ready to set out and walk with God even through the pilgrimage should lead them through the Red Sea and the wilderness, for they knew that the way to be tedious and long, their destination as a redeemed and separated people, was Cana, a land flowing with milk and honey. The journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to Cana has been called the Pilgrim's Progress of the Old Testament, and beautifully is portrayed in the pilgrimage of the Christian as outlined in the New Testament. Everything depends on what we do with the blood. Do we sprinkle the blood? Do we understand what it means? The memorial feast was to remember it. Exodus 12, beginning of verse 14, and this shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread, the first day until the seventh day, that the soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right, we need to confess our sins, make sure we're consistently filled with the Spirit. The first day there shall be a holy convocation. The seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread from the selfsame day, for I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe the day of your generations by an ordinance forever. The first month of the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until 1 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there will be no leaven found in your house. Whomsoever eateth of that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether it be stranger or born in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you of a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood, that is the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, and the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into you, your houses, to smite you. And you shall observe these things for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised you, you shall keep this service. It shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye of this service? That you shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt. And when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron so to do. Now Christ is declared to be our Passover. As our Passover, we need to, it means that when we understand this, we need to do. The feast was a time of occupation with the coming Messiah, the coming Redeemer. It was the beginning of God teaching them the importance of occupation with Christ. We're to look back to occupation with Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, Philippians 1:21. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Jewish Passover was a type of Christ, wherefore Moses kept it by faith, the faith of Messiah that was to come, Hebrews 11:28. As it was instituted in commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, so likewise to prefigure Christ, the redemption of his people. Hebrews 11:28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest by destroying the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as a dry land, which the Egyptians assayed as were doomed. Moses, the man of faith. Go back to verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea and dry land, which the Egyptians assayed, and they were drowning. Moses kept the feast. The Jews were saying that in the month Nisan they were redeemed, and in the month Nisan they will be redeemed, which was the month in which the Passover was kept. This is April for us, by the way, and for the confirmation of which they are mentioned, look at Micah 7:15. Micah 7:15. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. Isaiah 54:8. Isaiah 54:8. So we see there is value in looking at Christ as the Paschal Lamb. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Exodus 12:42. It is a night to be much observed of the Lord, for to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For this is that night of the Lord to be observed by the children of Israel in their generations. There is an agreement between the Passover and Christ and the sacrifice itself and the qualities of it. It was the Lamb as Christ is the Lamb of God. It was appointing and providing and fitly so called for his innocence and harmlessness, his meekness, his humility, and his patience. It was Lamb without blemish. As Christ is without spot and blemish, without the spot of original sin or blemish any actual transgression. It was a male. As Christ is the Son of Man, the head of the body and the firstborn among many brethren. It was a male the first year in which it might be prefigured Christ in the flower of his age, arrived at man's estate, and having had experience a variety of sorrows and afflictions. There was some likeness between them in the separation slaying of it. The Passover lamb was to be taken out from the sheep or from the goats, as Christ's human nature was chosen out from among the people in God's eternal counsel and covenant, the people. God reached down. He separated the rest from the individuals. God began with the race, the Adamic race. He then separated the Adamic race even more to the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm sorry, to the son of Noah, and chose Shem to break off from the human race into the Semitic race, the descendants of Shem. Then he divided the Gentiles from the Hebrew descendants of Shem by requiring it to be of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he's within the new race of the Hebrew people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he separated again through the tribe of Judah to establish the tribe, and then through the family of Jesse and David to establish the family, down to the Christ, the Messiah, separated from the individual human race, taken into federal union with the Son of God as the God-man, preordained before the foundation of the world. The seed of woman was to be the lamb slain, the one that would crush Satan's head. It was also wonderfully formed by the Holy Spirit, cleansing the womb of Mary of all impurities in the womb. And then the Father implanting the seed that he invented in the womb, while the shadow of the Almighty, of the Holy Spirit, overshadowed her to keep her worthy, keep everything decently in order, as John Gill called it. His life and conversation here on earth, he was separated from sinners, from being like them, and now is made higher than the heavens. The lamb was kept up from the 10th month to the 14th day before it was killed, which might typify the preservation of Christ's infancy from the malice of Herod. His riper years and the desires of the Jews upon him until the time was to come. It was to be observed that there was much of a space of time between his entrance in Jerusalem and his sufferings and death. John 12, 1 and 12. And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, to be raised from the dead. Verse 12. The next day, the people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. The lamb was slain as the Prince of Life was killed, and between the two evenings, as Christ was in the end of the world, in the last days, the declining of time, the age of the world, and even the time of the day, about the ninth hour and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time between the two evenings, the first evening beginning at noon, as soon as the sun began to decline, the other upon the setting of it. There's likewise a comparison of those together to be observed in the dressing and the eating of it. The Passover lamb was not to be eaten raw nor sodden. So Christ is to be eaten not in carnal, but in a spiritual way by faith. It is to be roasted with fire, denoting the painful sufferings of Christ on the cross, and the fire of divine wrath that fell upon him. It was to be eaten whole, as the whole Christ is to be received by faith in the person, all his offices, graces, and righteousness. And the bone was to be broken, which was fulfilled in Christ, John 19:36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, the bone of him shall not be broken. Was to be eaten with unleavened bread, which is spiritualized by the apostle in the next verses, also with bitter herbs, expressed to the hard bondage and the severe afflictions with which the lives of the Israelites were made bitter in Egypt, and signified by the persecution and trials that so much expected, and who lived godly and by faith in Christ Jesus. It was eaten only by Israelites and such as become proselytes as Christ. One true believer, only one by true believers. If the household was too little, they were to be joined to their neighbor, which might typify the calling and bringing in the Gentiles when the middle wall of the partition is broken down. The first Passover was eaten in haste, with the loins girt, their shoes on, their staves in their hand, noting the readiness of the believers ever for every good work. Do you begin to see the picture, my friends? Hastening unto the day of the Lord which approaches, we're to draw near. The Christ is our antitypical Passover, who is sacrificed, whose body and soul were offered as an offering and sacrifice of the Father for us, that he might be proper food for our faith and also in our room instead, to make satisfaction to divine justice for all our sins and all our transgressions. This is why in 1 Corinthians 5 we're clearly told in verse 7, purge out all the leaven, that you may be a new lump. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, this completes what we're looking at this time on Christ and the Passover. We need to look at Christ for what he is, our Passover, and appreciate it. He went to the cross for us. His blood was shed for us. Everything that the doctrine of the blood represents is important to us. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise, your word will not return void. Provide all we use.